Good morning and bright blessings, everyone. Well, after listening to Noel speak, I decided to change my talk a little bit because it reminded me of a few things. 47 years ago, when I was 13, I ran across an unusual book some classmates were passing around called Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Husson. I borrowed that book from them, took it home, probably kept it far longer than I should have, and studied it in-depthly. And just for some reason, it called to me. I don't know why, still don't know. I just accept it. But there was a power there and something that touched my heart and my soul that rang true to me. Now, I flirted in and out of the craft for a number of years until probably 20 years later in the 30s when I came across a group here in Atlanta called the House of Ravenwood, which is a group that followed the traditional witchcraft and was an organized coven and actually a seminary. And I became part of that group for a number of years. And surprisingly enough, one of the texts that they used for their basis was Paul Husson's Mastering Witchcraft. So it's interesting how things run together. But I just wanted to share that little insight to you so to show you that sometimes things work in patterns. Anyway, today I want to share just a little bit of knowledge with you about the pagan holiday that's coming up next Wednesday. Now, in my particular faith, there's four major Sabbaths that we celebrate every year. Imbolc, Beltane, Lammas, and Hallows. Imbolc, which is in February, celebrates beginnings, births, new life. Beltane, which is in May, celebrates sex and fertility. Hallows, which is coming after this, is death and resurrection. One next Wednesday is all about harvest, joy, celebration, and thankfulness. And it's the first of the three harvest festivals. First is Lammas, followed by Mabon on September 21st, and finally by Hallows on October 31st. It's a Sabbath, a holiday, a festival that's celebrated by pagans, neo-pagans, druids, and a number of other different religions alike. And interestingly enough, as Leslie mentioned to me on the way up here, it's also mentioned in literature. If you happen to be a fan of Romeo and Juliet, you will discover that there's a relation between Juliet's birthday and Lammas Day. It also goes by several other names, including Loafmas, Lugensaw, which if you read it, doesn't sound anything like what it reads like, and certain other names that are out there. Now, no one really knows where the name Lammas comes from, but certain scholars have suggested it comes from some ancient feudal practices. In the medieval architectural year, Lammas marked the end of the hay season, which began at midsummer, and the beginning of the, so to say, seed season, when you started collecting in all the grains. And the farmer would bring in that first sheath of grain in the morning, and his wife would go grind them down and turn them into bread and have it baked by the end of the evening. It's also been suggested that after that first day that the lord of the manor might turn a sheep loose in the field or a lamb so that all the hay gatherers, you know, could get a little reward for all the hard work they've been doing for the past 6 weeks. And whoever caught the lamb got to take it home. Now, if he was a good guy, you had roast lamb for dinner and everybody had a party. If he was more on the Republican side, he might take it home. There's also some documentation that it might be related to the church in the cathedral in York where they brought lambs into the cathedral during the Lammas ceremony. And there's still others that say that it is a translation of an Anglo-Saxon word that means loafmas, so a direct relationship to bread. Now in Gaelic country, we're back to that weird word again, Lunasa, which comes from the name Lu, which is the Celtic god of fire and light. So hence, that's where we get that name from. Now, the grains that were harvested at Lamas included wheat, barley, oats, rye, as well as the plants of bittersweet, mint, sunflower, and kadula. In Ireland, croppers were not allowed to harvest these grains until Lamas. Up until that time, they'd just been gathering hay. And the village witch and wise woman always also took this as a sign that it was time to start harvesting the herbs for the year, to be put away for the winter time. Drying all that rue, foxglove, rosemary, that the village would need to help stay alive. Now, this festival's roots date back to Anglo-Saxon times, and it's oftentimes considered the Feast of First Fruits. It also marked the end of the hay season, as I've already mentioned. And in ancient Greek times, the first harvest was given to the temple and the goddess Demeter and Kor to support the temple through the coming year. In some ways, the temple also acted as a bank that the populace could draw upon if the community was at war or in hard times. In many parts of England, the tenants were bound to present freshly harvested wheat to their landlords on or before the first day of August. In the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, where it is referred to as and called the Feast of Fruits, First Fruits. The blessing of first fruits was performed annually in both Eastern and Western churches on the 1st or the 6th of August, the latter being the Feast of the Transfiguration of Christ. Now, Lammas is a time of the fullness of earth and a celebration of the bountiful earth. It's a time of the sacrificial mating of God and Goddess, where the Corn King, given life by the goddess and tasting of her love, is sacrificed and transformed into bread and ale, which feeds us. The main theme of Lammas may therefore be seen as the thanksgiving to the goddess for a bountiful harvest, stating our hopes of what we wish to harvest, sacrifice, transformation, and a sharing of the energy of the Corn King. Now, in modern times, we view this as a holiday to celebrate our successes of the year. Those plans and dreams that we've laid out in the previous year, that we implemented in springtime, and those that are now coming to fruition. That new project at work, that garden that you wanted to plant out back this year, all those repairs you wanted to do on the house. All these are things that we need to celebrate and to be thankful for. It's also a time of reverence for the sacrifices made during the year. I mean, we tend to forget about it because we're kind of in a sterilized world here. But absolutely none of us can be here without the sacrifices made by others. Cattle, pigs, chickens, sheep, plants, vegetables, all of these are giving up their lives so that we can be sustained. And it's a time for us to sit back and just remember that and to honor them for them keeping us alive. It is an important time. It is a time to celebrate, but it is a time for a little quiet, serious meditation and to thank them for everything that they do to keep us going. Got a little short poem I'd like to read to you. The wheel has turned once more. First harvest is at our door, giving us abundance of plenty. We share them with our own and many. Our dying sun begins to fade as the goddess bears fruit that they made. The sun will journey back to earth, an endless cycle of life, death, and rebirth. Now, there is an old Anglo-Saxon charm that directs that Lammas bread should be broken into four bits and placed at the four corners of the barn to protect the gathered grain. Now, maybe that worked. In my own mind, I think all you're doing is you're laying traps for the mice and saying, come on in. Anyway, take this time, celebrate, enjoy. Think of all those things that you've accomplished this year. And also think of all those that have sacrificed so that you were able to. And let me end with this following blessing. May your harvest be bountiful and sustain you through the cold winter. May the love of friends, family, and goddess warm you always. Bright blessings, everyone. Thank you.